Grace to you and peace in Jesus' name. Amen. You know that parable in the Bible. It's one of those that almost everybody knows. There's a son who wandered far from home. He lived as though his father was dead, even collected his inheritance prematurely. And then he squanders it all. He sinks to the lowest of depths for a Jewish young man to be feeding the pigs, and worse, even longing to eat what they were eating. So the son resolves he needs to go back home, but he does so believing he'll be less than a son. He'll be a servant, a slave. But you know what happens. The father will have none of it. His father runs to his son, embraces him, orders the best robe, a ring, and shoes for his feet. The fatted calf is slaughtered, and a mighty feast is put on, because the son who is dead is alive again. That's peace. It's no wonder these words from Jesus are so well remembered and so well loved. The reunion that you see here with father and son, without anger, without retribution, without scolding or revenge, it's a really beautiful thing. And the key to it is repentance. Repentance is that ingredient that saved Peter, and the lacking of it is what condemned Judas. It's just the sort of thing that Luke, the author of the gospel, just loves to account for. Throughout the two books that Luke wrote, both Luke and Acts, Luke often points out how Jesus embraces the outcast, the downtrodden, the abused, and the dismissed. Those who've been pushed away, he brings near. It's just the sort of account that a lot of folks need to hear, especially when they know what it's like to be on the outside. For them, hang on to this, because this is the kind of God that we have. He loves the underdog. It's the kind of God who loves us. We read in Luke chapter 2 that the angel sounded out with clarion voice, "Behold, I bring you good news of great joy. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." That good news of great joy should be something personal. The angel speaks not to the great masses, but to just a small group of shepherds. And what is his message? That the Christ has been born for you. It's personal. It's an individual for you. That's why he came. The message is then echoed by the entire host of heaven as they burst into song, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth among mankind with whom he is pleased." Peace. Doesn't that seem foreign this time of year? This time of year is often far from peaceful as we're preparing for the birth of the Christ child. We're all, you know, getting our homes decorated, and there's presents to buy, and there's Christmas pageants to attend and prepare, and we're supposed to deck the halls with boughs of holly and jolly. Add to that COVID-19 and all the other ails and ills that come along, and not only that, but here you are with yet another Advent service to attend on top of everything else. Remember the magician from Frosty the Snowman? Busy, busy, busy. It's just what we are. Other things rob us of peace, like sometimes the absence of some. There's so many who are not here now. I hope they're joining us remotely, but man, I miss having the church a little more full. But there's family members too, right? Family members who, with whom you once spent these days, but some of them are not here. Some of them have been alienated, maybe by this plague of ill that is threatening us, or maybe by ill words or deeds. things that were said that shouldn't have been. Time doesn't always heal wounds. And we all probably know that. And the truth is, there is something that does, but it's not time. That old adage, time heals all wounds, that's kind of a romanticized view of things. It's not really true, but there is something that really does heal all wounds. It's repentance. Without it, time can pass, and the festering can grow, and the entrenching can become deeper. While others gather with loved ones, the cold shoulders and the silence toward you makes the absence of peace even more clarion and more clear. But the Lord is true to his word. Jesus comes with peace for this season. He's the one who brings real peace. Real peace. We don't really know what real peace is. We are, in Matthew 23, we are the Jerusalem over whom Jesus weeps. He says, "Oh, that you had known on this day the things that make for peace." You see, we don't even know what peace really is, but Jesus does, and he comes to bring it. The message of that angelic host to the shepherds is echoed again as Jesus enters Jerusalem, as the crowds praise God, saying, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Peace bookends Jesus' entire life on this earth. And when Jesus returns, there will again be peace, because that's what Jesus comes for. It's why Jesus went to Jerusalem. That might look like that week from Palm Sunday into Jerusalem to Good Friday probably didn't look anything like peace. But that's what he came to bring. It was for this very reason that he was born. But even his birth was anything but peaceful. With Herod's assault and the slaughtering of the children and the fleeing to Egypt and busy, busy, busy. But Jesus was born for that. He was born to suffer. He was born to die for the outcast, the downtrodden, and the abused, and the dismissed, so that there could be peace. Peace and healing that comes through repentance and a washing in his precious blood, which was shed for you. He did it for you. What a wonder that the birth of the Prince of Peace is proclaimed to, of all people, the shepherds. That whole nativity scene, we've kind of romanticized. We've made it look so fluffy and cute and pretty, and we never put the real smell of that stable in our nativity sets on our mantles. And the shepherds were not welcome people. Nobody liked them. Nobody wanted them around. They were the downtrodden, the outcast. They were the abused and the dismissed. Some in the church actually taught people to despise them. Luke's gospel, I told you, he likes to show Jesus reaches out to those who are cast out to bring them in. He proclaims that peace to the poor and the lowly first. Whether it's lowly shepherds that are typically not even welcome in people's homes, or those poor in spirit in the Beatitudes that Jesus said will have peace, they are the ones who receive the good news first. The one thing is certain is that that peace came for them, and it comes for you. No matter how down you might feel or how lowly society might say they think you should be, Jesus knows the thing that makes for real peace. That's what we should rejoice in. That's what this whole season ought to be about. This getting ready for his birth. We should regularly just take a pause, take a breath, and rejoice in the peace that he brings. Because the peace he brings never ends. They said it at his birth, right? The host said, on earth, peace among mankind with whom he is pleased. There's a neat connection there with the peace that comes to you, proclaimed by the angels, peace that has come to this earth in this child who is born unto you in the city of David. And again, remember what the angels said. He came for you. What's interesting is, at his birth, the praise came from heaven down to earth. At the end of his ministry, similar words are spoken, this idea of peace from heaven, but this time it is people singing it back to heaven. As he walks into Jerusalem, the crowds are singing and calling for peace. Jesus brings peace, and he brings peace between you and your heavenly Father. It's yours for the sake of Jesus, who took on human flesh and was born to bring you peace. That was predicted in the prophet Isaiah some 600 plus years before Jesus was born. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, among other things, the Prince of Peace. He reconciled you to God. He rose in that flesh in which he came. After he died in that flesh, he rose in that flesh to give you peace, to proclaim peace, to assure you of a peace that will come that really won't ever end. So if you're among those who are poor in spirit, understand you are at peace with your Father. That sin that alienated you from your Father, that sin that made you dead to your Father, like the prodigal was dead to his, that's been overcome. You who have been the prodigal are now in Christ, and you have been received back by the Father who greets you in joy, without anger, retribution, scolding, or revenge. That is so beautiful. That's peace. That peace is what comes to you this Advent season. There's a lot of busy, and there's a lot of worry. COVID spikes are through the roof. And on top of that, you still have all the shopping to do. And I can't imagine what it's going to be like to work at UPS and USPS these days, because all the packages are going to have to get mailed. Remember the peace that spills down from heaven. We don't have to wait for that. That peace that you have, it's yours. And it's yours right now with your Father, who loves you. We get to live in it now. It doesn't always look like it, but that's where we are, living in peace. Jesus knows the things that make for peace. Jesus can bring peace. His peace is for you. He brings forgiveness. Forgiveness that is carried on the vehicle of repentance, just as Jesus' body is carried on the vehicle of the bread and his blood is carried on the vehicle of the wine. Forgiveness is carried on the vehicle of repentance, and it's there, given to you freely. That's what makes for peace. Jesus brings peace. Remember that always in Jesus' name. Amen.